Danny, always great having you. How's life treating you there in Northern Cali?
It's going good. The weather is starting to get warm, which can only mean less work for everybody and more baseball.
Yeah, count me in. So outside of baseball, earlier this week, Austin Rivers, an ESPN hoop analyst, said, I'll take 30 NBA players and slot them in the NFL. And there's a tendency to forget that you have to be insane and football is a collision sport. But for those who have seen Victor Wembanyama, Michael Jordan, even airmailed one, John Wall, seeing non-baseball players throw, not to mention seeing them try to hit a baseball, your take on this, the folks who just assume greatness transfers.
It's apples and oranges. It's baseball is its own entity. I mean, we see guys that don't look athletic at all, i.e. Bartolo Colon, and they wound up becoming all-stars, right? It's just a completely different sport, baseball compared to the rest. Now, I did see an argument that hockey players, because of how nimble they are on their feet, that they could make some athletic defensive infielders and outfielders, which I absolutely buy that argument. But you don't need athleticism to be good at baseball. You need coordination and hand-eye coordination. That's what it comes down to. And I'm even saying baseball as a vague term because even the difference between pitching and hitting is just night and day too. So I personally think if you look at the videos that circle the social media streets and you see all these athletes go out and throw the first pitches and, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he joined the Yankees a couple of years ago trying to swing a bat. And I've seen UFC fighters like Jake Paul go out and take batting practice. And I'll say this, Mookie Betts catching a pass from Matthew Stafford would look a lot more smooth than Giannis Antetokounmpo would be swinging a bat against any pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, the assumption that, like I said, it just carries over is kind of laughable. All right, I guess it's on to MLB. Some Mariners, a slow start. And this team is interesting. In a time where everybody seems to have, home run fever, they're kind of hearkening back to the era of Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver trying to win the arms race. So what do you think about their staff? And with an offense that is, I guess, limited, how sustainable are they as a threat?
If they pitch like this, they're going to win quite a bit of ball games just because they're going to keep them in every single ball game they have, both starting and bullpen wise. I mean, go down the line, with the exception of Emerson Hancock, there is not a single player, bullpen or starter, that has been on the roster since opening day until now that has an earned run average above four. So all of these players, your five starters with the exception of Hancock, plus your six relievers, all of them sub four and most of them sub three ERAs. I mean, they're pitching the lights out. The problem is that their offense just has not been putting the ball in play enough. They're tops in baseball and strikeout percentage, so they're not putting the ball in play. OPS, they're 28 in baseball. Batting average, they're near the bottom. And so those totals have got to start gravitating more towards the mean as the season goes on because the Texas Rangers are going to start getting healthy. The Houston Astros, I know it's been a very, very slow start for them, but they started the season without Framber Valdez, without Justin Verlander, without Christian Javier. Those guys are going to start getting healthier and healthier. So the first month of the season, it's just kind of, it's 162 games. So it's really just kind of a warm-up, especially for teams that have been there, done that, such as the Astros and Rangers. Now's the time where you start to really start kicking things up and figuring out who's who and who's not. Seattle Mariners have got to start hitting the ball and putting the ball in play at a higher rate if they want to give themselves a chance in a very competitive American League West.
Talking with Danny Vietti, Wake and Rake podcast, part of the Believe Network. Let's head east to the Yankees. When the news hit of Gerrit Cole's injury, I had a sinking feeling, but I would call Carlos Rodon revitalized. This Lewis heel back from Tommy John surgery, how Clay Holmes is closing. And, of course, they're healthy, Stanton and Judge. I love how much Soto loves being in the Bronx. What about their start and how legit you see them as we get through spring and into summer.
Yeah, their pitching has been a pleasant surprise as well, when you consider the fact that they weren't going to be without the services of Gerrit Cole. Nestor Cortes has pitched very nicely after coming back from his injuries last season. Stroman, been a really nice pickup, just doing his thing. Not a high strikeout guy, but a guy that produces weak contact. Gill has been phenomenal, and Carlos Rodon is producing quality starts, as is Clark Schmidt. And the bullpen has been lights out as well. So it's really been across the board just a successful month and a week so far for the Yankees. And Gerrit Cole, they got news this past week that he is throwing off a mound, and they're hoping to get him back sooner rather than later. DJ LeMahieu, who is also injured, they're hoping to get him back at some point this season as well. So with the Yankees, it's never been a question of talent, really. It's just whether they can stay healthy for an entire season. You know, if you're looking for even more positives from the Yankees so far, Judge is really yet to get going. He's hit seven balls out of the ballpark, but he's hit .222 with a .795 OPS. When you compare that to his career averages, that's well below what Aaron Judge is capable of. So I don't expect the starting rotation to necessarily be as dominant when you just compare it to their career averages. But they're keeping them in ball games, and they have a lineup, as long as Soto's hot, they have a lineup that should be feared.
And as far as the Orioles, hearkening back, because he was an Oregon guy, played at Oregon State, when Jacoby Ellsbury had those big years in Boston, you'd be amazed at how many fans we had here. Now it's Adley Rutschman of the Orioles. They made the big move to get Corbin Burnes to front the rotation. Craig Kimbrell to close has been eh. And, of course, the rookie of the year, Gunnar Henderson, has been great. What do you like about the Orioles when you see them? And I guess everything I ask you should be taken with a month in.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's so much baseball to be played. But I think that should be assumed at this point. But I personally think the Baltimore Orioles are the best team in the American League, better than the Yankees, better than the Seattle Mariners, better than the Rangers. I just think that lineup top to bottom has as much pop as anybody. And then you do factor into, as you mentioned, Corbin Burnes, who's been lights out this year and is a front runner for the American League Cy Young. Dean Kramer's been good. Colt Irvin has been a pleasant surprise so far. Grayson Rodriguez, unfortunately, just hit the injured list this last week, but they're expected to get him back. I think top to bottom, when you compare rosters, I don't think there's anybody that surpasses the Baltimore Orioles. The most interesting thing about this squad is, it worries me a little bit, but at the same time, it also it depends on which way you take it. They lead the league in home runs, and they have one of the highest OPSs in baseball. But then you factor in, okay, like how disciplined is this team? Because we often see plate discipline play a big, big factor late in games and in playoff baseball. Well, the Baltimore Orioles had the most home runs in baseball, yet they have the second fewest walks in baseball with 89. So they're not looking to go up there to put base runners on. They're looking to go up there and sock some balls out of the ballpark. So it depends on how you want to take it. They're very, very aggressive. They're not looking to put runners on base. They're looking to drive in runs. You see typically more mature teams, older teams, they typically try and put a good bat together and try and get the starting pitcher out of the game early. That's not the Baltimore Orioles. They're looking to put the ball in play quickly and put a lot of base runners on immediately.
And, folks, yeah, you heard Cole Irvin, the former Oregon Duck, not an Oregon Stater. A couple final thoughts for Danny Vietti. Wake and Rake podcast. Man, the NL East looks like a great race with Philly. You know, the natural thought is Bryce Harper, Schwarber, Alex Bohm is a production machine, and they score a lot. But they're also a terrific staff. I mean, Wheeler and Nola, I guess you would be the constants. But then what about Ranger Suarez throwing like lefty Carlton, and how dominating this rotation's been?
I personally think the Phillies are the best team in the National League East, even over the Atlanta Braves. And I said that before the season, and there's a little bit of recency bias in that as well, in that the Phillies were the ones that knocked out the Atlanta Braves last year in the postseason. I think just the way that this team is put together is built for a postseason run. And I say that the Phillies are the better team, even better than the Braves. I personally think, more so I'm talking about in like a seven-game series. I think over a course of 162 games, We see teams with a lot of depth, such as the Atlanta Braves, such as the Los Angeles Dodgers. They can very easily win 100-plus games. And teams like the Philadelphia Phillies, albeit might not possess as much depth, they are so talented and have so many guys that have been there and done that. You mentioned Wheeler, Nola, Suarez. You look at their lineup and Schwarber, Real Muto, Harper, Alec Baum. I mean, Castellanos, the list goes on. They might not have as much depth as the Atlanta Braves do, but when you compare, if you were to rank, you know, the 10 best players between those two rosters, you'd have to think that the Phillies would probably have 8 of the top 10, 7 of the top 10, with the exception of, you know, Acuna, Spencer Strider, if he was healthy from the Braves. So I just think that the talent that the Phillies possess and the fear that they strike in other teams really gives them a huge advantage, especially when the playoffs come around.
And of course, the Braves, who tried to, who were hoping Chris Sale could resurrect his career as a top flight lefty. Charlie Morton, you know, he's 40 now, still gives him innings. Marcell Ozuna, man, he had a big year last year, big again this year. Otherwise, I kind of like the balance maybe of their offense. So I know you said who you prefer, but what do you like about this Atlanta team, who really good chance of making a 7th straight postseason?
No, they're fantastic, and I really, if you were to just take that completely out of context of me saying the Phillies are better, it'd be very easy to run with that and say Danny Vietti hates Atlanta. but the truth is that, just in my opinion, Philly has more fearful hitters than Atlanta does. Atlanta has more depth. Atlanta is likely, as I mentioned, probably going to win more regular season games than the Philadelphia Phillies will. It's two different rosters that are put together in two different ways. I think it really comes down to even less about starting lineup offensively, and it comes down to starting pitching. You know, when you don't have Spencer Strider in the fold, you're going to rely on Max Fried, who's fantastic. Ronaldo Lopez has been an incredible pickup for them. But after that, there's some definite question marks. You mentioned Morton, who's going to be turning 41 years old. Chris Sale has not been healthy for 4 years. Bryce Elder has been hit around since the second half of last season. So there's just a few more question marks with Atlanta, particularly their starting pitching, than I see with Philadelphia.
All righty. Like I said, we're a whole 35 games in. Folks, he is Danny Vietti. ML fans don't get much better information. The podcast on the Believe Network with former major leaguer Will Middlebrooks. It's called Wake and Rake on Twitter. It's at Wake and Rake Pod. For Danny, it's at Danny Vietti. Danny V, always top-notch stuff. Thanks a million for jumping on. And, of course, look forward to catching up as the season moves along.
Always a blast. Appreciate you having me, Steve.
All right, take it easy.